This show is brought to you by EarPeeler.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Hey, how's it going? This is Athanar from Midnight. You're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Horns up, metalheads. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Kareem, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a 17 hours to midnight episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 504, and I'm Snowy White.
And this is Rock. And, dear listeners, did you know, Snowy, I know you know this, did you
know everything.
That we here at Radioactive Metal, we condone drinking and driving as long as it's True Cult Coffee. Don't make it a Mickey or whatever, or a Lemmy or whatever. I don't know what you put in coffee or an Irish coffee. I know that much. Just the coffee. So okay. today's Radioactive Metal podcast has been possessed by the demons within True Cult Coffee and the black souls and from the fiery pits of hell. You should see me. I have my fingers going like there's a fire in my hands.
I'm getting pretty nervous.
True Cult Coffee is a small town coffee company that is offering only premium single origin coffees. They strive for world domination, and don't we all? But they do it by summoning the ultimate flavor through fresh roasted deliverance. Cafe Storm, their first roast, is a medium roast coffee summoned from El Salvador that is smooth and elegant, yet strong enough to blow up your planet. Do we want that? Not sure, but well, it could.
Their other roast,
Mejor El Vete, is a dark roast from Nicaragua that is full-bodied, bold, and smoky with just a little tiny hint of chocolate. So check them out on Instagram at trve.kvlt.coffee. And if you want to purchase the said coffee, well, there's only one place to go, and that's truecultcoffee.com. That's trvekvltcoffee.com. And tell them Radioactive Metal sent you.
For sure, for sure. And you know what? That hint of chocolate, that's a really good thing, because that way you can buy True Cult Coffee, like, for your wife or girlfriend for Valentine's Day, or just for their birthday or anything. You can buy something true in Cavalt and go, see how I'm thinking of you, dear?
There's chocolate in this.
Chicks love chocolate.
And then dudes love chocolate, too.
Well. how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Well, I got to say, we averted a crisis tonight.
Oh, okay.
Big-ass crisis. Well, I've texted you and Aaron about this, and Kareem. I didn't. Okay, well, we're recording on a Friday night. Okay, pull back the curtain a little bit. Yep. I did not have internet since Wednesday.
Holy shit, how did you survive?
Oh, dude, seriously. Because the thing is, it's one thing not to have internet, but on top of that, when you don't have TV also, it's like it was the Dark Ages here.
Ooh. Oh, God.
No, but seriously, because, okay, I have AT&T, okay? For our listeners who are in the United States, I have AT&T. And I have I have their internet, and I also have the U-verse service for TV. Now, the U-verse service is all digital. So I have a DVR box, just like, you know, if you'd have a satellite service or a cable service. But, you know, because it's AT&T, it's all goes through it all goes through the modem. It's all digital.
Mm-hmm.
So if your modem doesn't work, your TV doesn't work. So Wednesday, when I noticed it wasn't working and I had these two red blinking lights, I call AT&T and they say, okay, well, after doing some tests, they say, well, it looks like it's your modem. We're going to send you a new one. You'll have it, you know, by tomorrow night, by, you know, overnight. So I'm like, okay, not so bad. You know, I hang up with the guy. Okay, no internet. That's fine. Then I'm like, fuck, there's no TV. Fuck, what am I going to do?
Oh, no.
It's like, because I was trying to remember, it's like, okay, when we did not have internet, what did we do? We watched TV to entertain ourselves. Well, now I don't have either. So I pulled out my graphic novels and I read for 2 days.
There we go. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, because when they sent the new modem, I got it the next day on Thursday. And the problem was still there. It was still the same two red lights were blinking, so I had to call them back. And then I talked to a different guy and said, "Oh no! It sounds like it's a problem outside, you know, at the box that serves all the neighborhood." So they sent a technician. He went and fixed that, and then he came into the house and made sure the modem was plugged in properly and all that. So I got my internet back around 5:30 p.m. today, you know. So it was a full 3 days. Oh, 2 days. So, it was horrible.
Okay, but we're up and running, and that's what's important to bring this. Actually, you know what? I was busting. I kind of need the idiot box myself because my Winnipeg Jets are deep in the playoffs right now, doing the best they've ever did, which kind of reminded me, like, I just got home from work myself. I had a long day, and I was being ribbed because of the hockey game tonight. I was being ribbed by some of the guys that I share a warehouse with, okay?
Okay.
They were like, "Oh, come on, Snowy. In order for them to get out and go home and watch the hockey game, because we're in Canada, eh? This is what everyone's doing now.
Yeah.
They have to wait until I get my shit done. It's just a chain of events here, you know. So they're kind of, come on, Snowy. We have to get this done." Their supervisor is like, "Yeah, okay. Now, if Snowy had some sort of punk rock show in some scumbag's basement, you know he would have been out of here about an hour ago." I just kind of, you know me too well, because the irony here is I've been to more than my share of basement shows. The guy just looked at me and he's like, "Oh, why did I fucking know that?"
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I'm here. I'm in one piece. It's been a long day. But like I said last episode, tired, dirty, hungry, you know, makes for a good Snowy on the air. It looks like it's just you and I here.
Yep. Some people have family obligations, and some others are in Jacksonville and at the Welcome to Rockville Festival.
Yeah. Corinne texted me last night, and we're pissing around this morning as well. And she's like, "Yeah, I'm going to Rockville. I won't be able to make it." It's like, "Oh, fuck. Must be nice."
Yeah.
So. So she's going to be catching Ozzy later tonight. So I told her, "Hey, while you're making your way down to, or I guess up to Jacksonville, make sure you listen to last week's episode, because we talked to none other than Gus G."
Yeah.
Ex of Ozzy. So yeah. I hope everyone enjoyed that last week. And I think we're going to continue the kick-ass creature features. Because we got one here that we spoke to Midnight last year over the phone, but I got a chance to catch up with Athanar face to face, literally, sans mask and everything. So I'm kind of
You saw the man.
I saw the man behind the mask. Yeah.
Oh wow, I'm jealous.
Yeah. So yeah, and I got an interesting story to go with that. But before we get on rocking and rolling, it is my absolute great pleasure to announce and to share our listeners, everyone, please welcome Alice Ivy Thomas in the world. April 23rd at 1:30 a.m. Our good buddy Corey Thomas and his beloved significant better Veronica invited their first, you know, their welcomed their first child into the world, Alice Ivy Thomas. What an amazing rock and roll name that is.
Yes. That, yeah, you could not expect less from that couple.
Oh, definitely. Definitely not. So, you know, all of our love, all of our best from everyone at Radioactive Metal to the Thomases. And like this is absolutely amazing. And as well, our good buddy Corey's brother, Sean, who we've had on the show before and played tunes and had many, many great things to talk about. He became an uncle as well, so.
Oh, boy.
Horns up to him. Yeah. But, hey, this is good for old Uncle Snowy, too. Like, I can't wait to start spoiling this kid. It's going to be awesome. Right on.
And we got to treat every episode like we have new listeners every episode. For people who are wondering who Corey Thomas is, he's a concert promoter in Winnipeg, in your neck of the woods. The best concert promoter over there. And he plays drums for, gosh, I don't know how many bands. Tell us a few of the bands that people may know.
Right now, we've had him on for the band Flashout. He's an ex-drummer for Putrescence. He's been in Untimely Demise. Oh, he's also in Zombie Assault as well.
Yes,
these are all artists we've all played, and we will continue to. And we will continue to, you know, without Mr. Thomas and all of his hard work, we wouldn't get half of the great guests that we do, at least in person and all that. So we owe him a debt, and we are so excited and so happy.
Yep.
For everyone. Absolutely. That's fantastic. So maybe we can get on with it.
We lead busy metal lives. Find out what we've been up to in our Metal Fix.
Okay, dude, what you got?
All right, well, like I've been mentioning the last few weeks, it's extremely busy at work these days. I listen to all sorts of podcasts and stuff. On the podcast front, I can't say that there's anything that really stood out this week. Maybe the rock and roll Twilight Zone was not really my cup of tea, but it was interesting anyway. It was all about the guy that invented acid, you know, acid tabs, you know, the LSD, not LSD, but, you know, I don't know if he invented it, but he was the first guy to do it privately, and he was making millions of pills and stuff. And so it was all about that. Now I can't remember his last name, but Owsley. His last name was Owsley. I don't know if you've ever heard the name. Anyway.
No.
So that, you know, so that was kind of interesting. But I did listen to some new stuff. I had a chance to listen to some of the promos that were sent. And one of them that really, really stood out to me, I hope I can say this correctly, because I was practicing actually at lunchtime with my coworker. I showed him on my iPod. I said, okay, how do you say this band name? And he's looking at it like, so between the two of us, we figured it out. It's, okay. Soliloquium.
Okay.
Soliloquium. I know what a soliloquy is.
Right.
But this is a soliloquium. Okay.
I've never heard of this band. Now I'm pissed.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're European, but they're Death Doom, which is why I absolutely love their stuff. It's really, really good stuff. We got it recently in that stack of digital promos that we get sent every week. Mm-hmm. But it's excellent stuff. I definitely recommend it. If you're into Death Doom, there's some clean vocals also in there, but they're not the annoying kind where the guy tries to sing too high and, you know, I have a pet peeve. Doom is my favorite style of metal, and I have a pet peeve when they try to sing too much over it, and when there's a lot of reverb. I hate reverb. So this is Death Doom, real deep, real guttural, and with clean vocals once in a while. So and the clean vocals are good. You know, the guy's actually a good singer. He sings normally. You know, he doesn't try to do the Doom thing. You know that. Everybody's been doing lately, you know. So because Doom now is a fad, I guess, you know, everybody's doing Doom now. So it's one of those things. And the other thing is that I don't know. I was on an AC/DC kick this week, so I pulled out my two favorite albums that I've been listening to at work and in my car. My favorite AC/DC album is Flick of the Switch.
Right.
That's when I discovered them in '83. You know, the those first videos, Nervous Shakedown, and the song Flick of the Switch. I absolutely love that song. And my second favorite album by AC/DC is For Those About to Rock.
Right.
So
on.
I pulled out both of those, and yeah, you know, I've been listening to it in the car and stuff. And man, Rising Power, so good, so good, so good. That song, and For Those About to Rock, the song.
Of course,
you know, you can't call them doom because they're not slow enough. But right. That's what those two songs are, where my love of slow, heavy, hard music. That's where I pinpoint the start of me loving that kind of stuff, because they're two slow songs and they're super heavy. You know, so yeah, I had a blast listening to that this week.
Horns up to you, dude. Just for. No one has ever said, I got my love of Doom from AC/DC. No one has said.
Well, have you ever noticed how AC/DC has a lot of slow, heavy songs?
Mm-hmm.
They
mix it up, yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of fast songs, you know, like Landslide and Snowballed and stuff like that. But, you know, and see, I'm naming is that some really obscure songs on purpose so that people can go check them out.
Of course,
but,
of course.
But they also do a lot of slower songs, you know, like Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution. That's a slower song.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like the song at all. That one gets on my nerves. I don't know why. But, you know, songs like I said, like Rising Power and For Those About to Rock, man, that's so good. It's so good. I would play them slower if it was me, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, AC/DC is good for any mood. They're always there for you, no matter what.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, what you got this week?
Right on. Well, for myself, I kind of hit the live front a couple of really cool shows. I don't know what you would call them, gothic metalers. Serenia came through town. Very first time crossing Canada. First time I checked. Yeah, it was the very first time that I had seen them as well. And if anyone who's not familiar with them, you know, if you're into Nightwish, Lacuna Coil, that type of, you know, Leaves Eyes and all that, like those, that type of atmospheric gothic metal and all that, this is definitely a band that's going to be right up your alley. But the venue that they played at is called the Handsome Daughter, which you've never mentioned before. it's an amazing venue, but it's known for its death metal and its punk and, you know, even some folk, acoustic folk type stuff and all that. So it's like, well, you know, this is like Nightwish playing CBGBs or something, you know.
Interesting.
You know? So, yeah, but it turned out really well, you know, because it's a fantastic venue and you're right there. You know, it's a small room, but you're right there just taking in the sights and the sounds and all that. I was a little, well, I don't know, man, but I think it turned out really well. Threat Signal was the support act, which you have that one type of, you know, sound, and then the direct support you know, is that more modern metal type sound that might have a wider audience towards it, but really, really heavy as well. Like we've had Threat Signal on and on before, and they got a new record, Disconnect, out on Agonia right now. I would definitely recommend. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to go out on some Threat, on the new Threat Signal and all that, because, oh, they absolutely tore it up live. That's that type of venue is where Threat Signal definitely shines through. Last time I saw them was at the zoo.
Okay.
At the old zoo and all that. And as soon as they were done their set, you know, they kind of made their way out. And myself and Ducky and my new friend Kayla, okay, a friend of a friend, I'm really becoming good friends with her. You know, we were kind of hanging out with the band, you know, after their set. I reintroduced myself and just how we knew them and that we had them on the show and we played them and all that. Horns up to Kayla, who really stepped up, who bought us all a shot, bought us all around, the three of us and the band and all that, and we'd had a nice. We had a big cheers and a really good time. Yeah. So right on. And as well, the night before, okay, Neck of the Woods came through town. Now that is a progressive death metal band here from Canada, eh? And that's this is like I use that expression a lot. Okay, so that kind of caught my attention, made me want to check them out. Sure enough, this is really cool. I dug them. I'll check it out. And they put on a fantastic show as well. Their latest record, The Passenger, is available now, and it's definitely recommended. Are we going to talk about Record Store Day?
You know, as you were talking, I'm thinking, it's like, shit, I forgot to talk about Record Store Day.
Okay, good. Well, what went down with you with Record Store Day?
Okay, well, I went down to Park Avenue CDs here in Orlando. I was working that day, so I did not get there until, gosh, it was like 1:30 in the afternoon. I had to work in the morning. And I totally missed the Fozzy meet and greet.
Oh.
Chris Jericho was here with Fozzy. They were playing the Earth Day Birthday show later that day. And the week before, if you went and bought the CD from the store, you got a wristband, and then you were allowed to go to the meet and greet and get autographs and pictures and stuff like that. So I totally missed that, which kind of sucks, but, you know, I had to work. So, and an interesting thing. I'll tell this part of the story a little later. So I get there. Fairly long line, but, you know, it was 1:30 in the afternoon, you know, so it took me about 45 minutes to get into the store, you know, because it's a small store, you know, it's not very big, so they don't let a whole lot of people in at the same time, you know. So,
right.
But while I was in line, I saw pictures from the morning when people were there. Dude, the line was at least, oh, my God, I'd say 300-400 people.
Oh,
it
wow.
It was crazy, because, you know, the Park Avenue CDs is in a small strip mall on Kareen Street. Yeah, isn't that weird? so right next to that strip mall, there's a gas station, and then you've got the street corner. You know? So people were going down. It was down the front of the store, going down the side of the parking lot, going into the parking lot of the gas station, going around the gas station, and going up that side street. Dude, it was crazy. So I you know, but those were the people that were there first thing in the morning. Some people camped out even, apparently. So.
Holy shit.
Yeah, wow. Some people are, you know, they just, there's certain things they want, and they want to make sure they're the first ones there, you know. And good. I mean, it's great for the record store, you know. So
this isn't like how I give people a hard time for Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, camp out for Record Store Day, please.
Yeah.
You have my full support in that. Yeah.
So, you know, so while we were in line, they had music playing outside, and they had a guy on site who was printing T-shirts on site right in front of you. you know, screen nice. Printing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a thing here in Florida. There's one also in South Florida that my friend works in a comic book shop, and whenever they do events, they bring the guy in, and he has special designs for that comic book shop, and you can buy a T-shirt off him for $10. You know, he prints it in front of you and stuff. So, it's a thing here in Florida. So, and they were doing raffles while we were waiting in line to get in, and House of Blues had provided a bunch of tickets, concert tickets, you know, that, you know, if your number was, you know, was drawn, then you could pick whatever you wanted. I don't know what the tickets were, you know, I have no idea. I'm sure there was a mix of all sorts of genres, you know, so they were doing that. So I finally get in, and, I wasn't really looking for anything in particular because I had noticed that there was not a whole lot of metal going on this year for Record Store Day. There was not a whole lot of metal items. And then with speaking with Aaron, he said that I guess the ambassador this year was a hip hop guy. So, which would explain why there wasn't as much metal as was it last year that Metallica was the they were the ambassadors.
Yeah, I think they had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, so there was a lot more heavy metal selections. So you know, just you know, wandering around, and I see my friend Tom who works there, and he says, "Oh, are you looking for anything in particular?" I was like, "No, I'm just looking around." He says, "Well, in case you need it," he points at the heavy metal section and says, "Look, we've got the reissue of Garage Days, the 5/98 EP by Metallica." I'm like, "Holy shit! Yes!" So
better grab that. Yeah.
And the thing is, that's not even a Record Store Day thing. It's just they put it out the day before on 4/20. That's when they put it out. But they're not stupid, Metallica. They put it out in conjunction with Record Store Day without it being a Record Store Day item. So they knew they were going to sell a lot of them on Record Store.
Of course. Yeah.
So I wound up getting the vinyl version because I used to have the vinyl version years ago. And, you know, when I moved down here to Florida, I sold most of my vinyls. So I picked up a copy, which I haven't even opened. I have the orange vinyl one. That's the one I got. But so after I was done, you know, I go and I go pay for my stuff. And as I was walking out, Park Avenue CDs were doing a thing like if you bought for a certain amount of money, you would get some free items. If you bought like $100 worth of stuff, you'd get a free T-shirt from the guy outside, you know, a Park Avenue CDs T-shirt. So, you know, and a certain dollar amount equal to a certain amount of items because they had people outside with tables and stuff with all this stuff that they were giving away to, you know, and they said, okay, we have vinyls that we're giving away. This counts as two items, you know. The concert tickets had concert tickets reserved for the people who made big purchases. You know, those counted for four items if you got the tickets, you know. So as I'm walking out, you know, the owner of the store, his name is Sandy, and I see him and I start talking to him. And, you know, I can't say he's my friend, but we're acquaintances. He almost hired me a few years ago to be his heavy metal guy in the store when I was in jobs. Yeah, but he just couldn't give me the amount of hours that I needed. I never got to. I had two interviews with him and everything. So, but I almost, you know, I almost took it anyway. But anyway, I'm talking with him and I asked, so how did the meet and greet with Fozzy go? He said, it went well. He says, tour manager gave us a little bit of a trouble, but you know, it's like, you know, and I just started laughing. I mean, yeah, usually the tour managers, they think the band that they're managing for are bigger than what they really are.
Oh yeah,
You know, I always get that impression that the guy's like, "Oh yeah, well, I'm the tour manager, and my band is huge, you know, so you're going to do what I say, you know, whatever." So, but they get there. Apparently, Fozzy got there, and the tour manager sees the line. Okay, but the line was for Record Store Day, and the line was huge, right? And he goes, "Is that their line?" And he looked like real happy. And Sandy, the owner, says, "No, that's Record Store Day line. Their line is on the other side, which was way smaller." I don't know how many people it was. It was probably maybe 100 people, maybe for that, maybe less. But he said, "I saw his ego go." No, but he said Jericho was awesome. Jericho was great. The band members were all great. Said Jericho actually did a signing for them like back in 2005. When Park Ave moved their location to where they are now. So he said, yeah, Jericho knows us and he's super cool. So, you know, we had no issues with him. I was like, oh, well, awesome, man. That's cool. I was happy to hear that, you know. So,
right on.
But that's my, oh yeah, no. And then I go to the tables to see if my purchase, qualified to get any free items, right? And I show the girl, and I bought one thing, and it was $18 with tax, you know. So she go, I said, does this qualify? She looks at my receipt. She's like, no. you have to buy for at least 50. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, not a problem. But then another employee who's behind the table he recognized me. He goes, hey, he says, come over here. I said, what? He said, okay, we got these two boxes here of CDs. This is all Relapse stuff. You can grab one of them.
Oh, nice.
And the weird thing is, they had all these free CDs in there for people who made purchases, and I was expecting stuff from all sorts of stuff. I was expecting like some hip hop, some pop, some, you know, Beyonce in there. No, it was just Relapse albums. It was two boxes. Wow. And that's all they had in there. Nothing from any other label, nothing from Metal Blade. I was like, wow, this is weird. Just a metal box. And they had no other box at all of any other CDs. I'm like, okay, you know, that's cool. So I started flipping through it. And granted, it was a bunch of older Relapse stuff. They had a lot of Dying Fetus in there. They had some Nile, but like singles from the album their Darkened Shrines, which that dates from like 2002, 2003, you know. And so it was a lot of stuff like that, you know, a lot of Relapse metal. And the one thing caught my eye, and it was Mantis, the demos that they released a couple years ago.
Right. You know, yeah, the band Death started as Mantis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so right. On these demos, it's Chuck Schuldiner, Rick Ross, and Cam Lee. You know, they were a trio at the time before they changed the name to Death and added, you know, a new member. Mm-hmm. So I got that, you know, and a little disappointed. I should have gotten the Dying Fetus instead. Because it's demos. I thought that you could tell that these songs were recorded with a ghetto blaster in the corner of the practice room, you know?
Oh, yeah. And they were, what, 16 at the time?
Yeah. Well, the music is great. It's just that, you know, the sound quality is kind of bad.
Brutal.
Yeah. And the thing is that there's several demos on here. I think there's like four different demos, and it's the same songs over and over again. So you got four shitty versions of the same song. Yeah. So I was like, all right, okay. I kind of missed the boat on that one. But yeah, so that was my record store day. I got the 598 EP on vinyl, and I got the Mantis demos.
Right on. Myself, I did pretty good on record store day myself. I didn't get any record store day exclusive stuff or anything, just some stuff, you know, that was on sale. My first stop was like Mrs. White wanted to go to the mall, so we went into Sunrise Record, and I picked up the new War on Women's Capture the Flag CD. I love this. This is a feminist hardcore band. I really dig them. And we made our way to some actual record shops, and my first pickup from an actual shop was the debut of Vancouver Grinders' Violent Restitution on 12-inch vinyl. And then a little while later, in another shop, I grabbed the first Mass Grave 12-incher as well. Another real cool grindcore band. To which I got home a little while later, and when I had a look at my CDs, it's like, oh, fuck. Oh, here's another cautionary tale, courtesy of your Uncle Snow. Like, when you have 2,000 releases, you have to be careful sometimes about what you might already own, because it's like, oh, fuck, I got that Mass Grave on CD already. Oh, well, that's, you know, it's happened before, and I'm sure it'll happen again and all that. But, you know, I'll just give the CD to someone.
Yeah, that's when it becomes like a birthday present or a Christmas present.
There you go.
I thought of you when I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. I found Putrescence here from Winnipeg, who I mentioned earlier, Mr. Corey Thomas's band. They kind of had a rare split 7-inch with the band I Die Screaming. I found that. I picked that up. And, okay, this is a classic song. I have it on 12-inch vinyl, the single version and all that. But I found, just for secondhand, for $2, I spend more on coffee, Wasp's Animal Fuck Like a Beast on CD single.
Cool.
$2. Okay. Just for the novelty of this, I'm definitely going to pick that up. So I think I did pretty good. Pretty proud of myself. And, you know, and it was a good time. Mm-hmm. You know, me and Mrs. White, we had a nice afternoon out and all that. You can't go wrong with that. So what we want to do is dedicate a song from Neck of the Woods to everyone that made their way out for Record Store Day from the aforementioned The Passenger album. This is Bottom Feeder. Excited once again that we have our old buddy Athanar from the Mighty Midnight, another Hell's Headbangers recording artist. This time, like I said at the beginning of the show, We did a phoner with him last year. This time, you know, we had the good fortune of having Midnight come through town. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I wanted to have a face-to-face interview with the gentleman and just to meet him and hang out with him and just all this good stuff, because not only am I a big fan of the band, we've had him on the show, we also have mutual friends in Cleveland and at Hell's Headbangers and all that, so you know, this now is the time. Mm-hmm. Okay, the only problem here though is I have no idea what he looks like.
Yeah,
you know, like like every other band, well, except maybe Ghoul. Okay, every other band, like I knew what they look like. I was able to approach them. I was able to say hi and all that. But it's going to be a little difficult with Athanar. Mm-hmm. But I know the voice. Obviously, I know the voice quite well. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I show up to the venue. I want to make sure I show up nice and early. Nowhere to be seen. Band's not anywhere around. Nope, sorry, Snowy, band's not here. Oh, shit. Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and have dinner, okay? And then I'll come back, and I'll come back to the venue, and I'll wait. And bear in mind, I've got a hoodie on that says I Heart Tattooed Girls on it. Because Mrs. White has tattoos. Well, Mrs. White has tattoos. My daughter has tattoos. All my female friends, they all have tattoos and all that. So I have this hoodie. Okay. Mm-hmm. I go for dinner. I come back. There's a band up on stage. Sounds like Midnight. Okay. It's a three-piece. Okay. I'm pretty sure this is them. In between songs, the vocal. Sorry,
what were they doing? A sound check or what?
Yeah, they were doing a sound check. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm like, your dinner was kind of long.
Yeah, no. There was a band on stage. They were doing a sound check and all that. And then when it got quiet, I could hear the vocalist say something to the sound man. Oh, that's Athanar. God damn it, for sure, for sure. So when the sound check was over, I made my way over. I introduced myself. Oh, great. It's really great to meet you and all that. And he sees my hoodie. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, you know what? We walked past you about half an hour ago just outside the venue. Okay, because there's no way that I wouldn't know what they look like, you know, if anyone who doesn't know, Midnight, they have the black masks and the hoods and the full garb and – you know, they play it pretty close to the chest and all that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, when all was said and done, we stepped out. He wanted to go for dinner. We went to a nice Chinese food restaurant, which you'll find out in tonight's creature feature about halfway through. Or, you know, our dinner arrives with the waitress and brings it to us. And it's like, okay, I'm keeping all of this in. All of this is atmosphere. And I gotta say, I had one hell of a chat with Athanar from Midnight to get us there. Let's drop a track from that cool new, well, newish record, Sweet Death and Ecstasy. Okay, they totally made up this word, I swear to God, because I never heard the word penetratal before. So this is Midnight's Penetratal Ecstasy.
Life.
First and foremost, one of the things I wanted to get to was the response from Sweet Death and Ecstasy. Has it been a year now since the record's been out?
The actual release date was not until December 15th or so of last year. But that was the actual release date, but the records came in October, so... The pressing was sold out before the release date, and so it kind of sucked in that way slightly that not enough records were pressed or ordered, I guess.
Right.
But there's more, but since then there should be some more coming out.
Okay. What's been the response been so far? Is there...
Good, I think. I mean, I don't know. I don't read any of the reviews, and these are kind of the first gigs outside of Cleveland that we've played since the album came out. We played Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, but the album came out in December, so we don't really get out much in the wintertime, Come spring now, we'll start doing some gigs.
So, yeah, and here you are finally up here in Winnipeg. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Still feels like Cleveland. Yeah.
Actually, I would imagine there are a lot of similarities this time of year. The last time we spoke, we did a phoner around this time, right after the Shocks EP came out. And a big part of our conversation was you had your upcoming tour with the whole Decibel thing with Creator and Obituary and Horrendous and all that. That must have been just amazing. How did that? I assume that went well.
It did. It went well on a musical level, I guess. It went good on all levels, I guess. Personal level. I think we kind of talked a little bit about it too. My reasoning for doing it was not to further my so-called career. It was to get out and feel good about being a human, having a purpose in this existence. But it worked out good. It was like 25 shows, wherever the hell, and they were all good. It was almost like when I got back home, wait for something shitty to happen, because no fights, we played well, band ran well, blah blah blah, everything went too good. Like, what the hell happened? Something's gonna happen bad.
I guess nothing major in that part. After this monumental event and all that, how has anything with the band changed at all? Is just because now you did get that exposure?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but not too much. I mean, we're kind of lucky that we still just ran by my idiocy. So we don't have a manager, don't have a tour agent, blah, 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 this and that. So we're lucky that people still get in contact with me and want to set up gigs and want us to play somewhere. And I apologize out there to 90% of the people I don't get back to, but it's just me. So I'm a bit overwhelmed. As it is a little bit, so it's not. It's I hate to sound rude, you know, but if I try to get back to people about doing gigs and this and that, it's just too much for me to juggle sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's why it was nice doing that decibel tour, because we never really did that before, so it was nice. Okay, go out and just do gigs that way. Like, hey, do you want to do a show in Kansas? Hey, do you want to do a show in Philadelphia? And, you know, here and there, and it's a bit too much to handle it sometimes.
But. Yeah, and you probably had someone taking care of the day to day. Which normally you would do, I guess.
On a tour?
Yeah. Like,
no, it was
on
still
this
me.
One. It was still all.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was. I mean, the dates were set. All we had to do was show up.
Oh, okay.
So that's what we did. Yeah. You know, so there really wasn't much business to take care of, other than them giving us pay after the gig.
Right.
You know? But I did have my friend went along with us, and he sold the shirts and blah blah blah, and did that kind of stuff and helped out.
So. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Post tour, I notice the articles and, you know, the name Midnight just popped up more and more all over the place. Like some more stuff in Decibel magazine. Mm-hmm. Something you did something with Zero Tolerance over in the UK and all that, and it's like this is awesome. Like, this is probably the most press that Midnight has, like, this past year has gotten, like, from the start, I imagine.
Well, that, again, too, like, years ago, I would just not accept interviews, too. I don't know why, you know, just call it a bit of shyness, a bit of why interview me type thing. You know, like, no, I'm not going to get any good answers. You know, what the hell do you want to interview me for? Interview someone important. So, but this time around, I guess I was more accepting to, okay, well, we'll see what happens. Why not? You know, what's the worst that can happen? So.
Right. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. How does that? How do you deal? Like, I can tell you're a very modest guy, you know, and that's fantastic. But what's your reaction? I don't know if you've seen this or not, but when quote unquote celebrities, like I've seen Josh Barnett and Shayna Baszler in the MMA world, in the pro wrestling world, wearing Midnight merch in public and in pictures and all that. Do you
doing that?
Yeah, yeah. You have fans in rather high places. I don't know if you knew this.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, everybody's in a high place somewhere. You know, whether it be, I don't know, what's a high place.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, I'm sure they would say the same thing the other way around. Like, if I was wearing a Josh Barnett shirt, or, you know, he would say the same thing. Like, okay, that's cool. You know, I mean, he does what he does. I do what I do. You do what you do, and put it in a pot and stir it around, and you get this world of shit.
Right on. With the Athanar, and I don't want to say character or anything, but yeah, it sort of is.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like, sometimes I think, like, you can take this character and run with it. Okay, not just as musicians, but I see Guar doing comic books.
Yeah.
I see, you know.
It's funny you mention it, because I just recently got some guy from Europe did a whole comic book based on, you know, it was really cool. It's very flattering.
Right.
It's like, it's a whole comic book with Athanar. This search, the premises. The two guys in the band get sick from some kind of food poison or whatever, and I'm trying to find two band members real quick to do this gig, and it's like this adventure of me trying to find band members. So stuff like that, it is kind of cool in a way, you know, but then it's like, again, you always think, like, you know, you don't want to be a character of yourself, like, you know, like Kiss or something. It's even one of my favorite bands, but it is flattering, you know. I guess I would have never thought that, and just to have someone to care enough about to make a comic book or to do some drawing of this and that, or make a doll or the tattoos or whatever the hell. I mean, it's cool.
Right. What was the inspiration behind the hood? I believe I might have asked this a year ago, but just what made you decide just to do it?
Well, it was just an easy gimmick, I guess. And, I wanted to have an image. This isn't going to cut it. Something easy. I know it's a bit of a ripoff of the Mentors, but it's everything's a ripoff of somewhere, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just the next level of a ripoff.
Yeah, but today's generation, like, who? An older guy like me obviously remembers the Mentor, but the younger folks that you're probably going to see tonight, they probably don't even know who the Mentors are.
Yeah, and you're right, and that's the same thing that's happened generation from generation. You know, Led Zeppelin was ripping off blues songs. Their fans didn't know. They didn't care.
Right.
They were having a great time. So,
first time I saw King Diamond, I didn't go, "Ah, Kiss."
Yeah.
You know, like, right. That just didn't register.
I mean, it's kind of obvious when you look at it. It's like, okay, dude.
Like the border show? What are you?
Oh, I mean, just me, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks a lot. And, yeah, first time you see King Diamond, yeah, you didn't say Kiss, right? Wow, this guy's satanic as hell. He's got it upside down bones.
Yeah. For sure. Speaking about Kiss, though, okay, do you ever think maybe someday, after you've been doing this for a little while, Midnight Unmasked? Will that ever be an option?
I don't think so. I mean, we did actually do one gig unmasked in Dubai.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We were in this place, and after, like, Dubai's not the heavy metal capital, and it's still pretty ignorant to that kind of music. So the club owner got kind of skeeped out after the first two songs, and he sees people kind of moving and, you know, doing stuff, reacting to music. And he sees these people that look like terrorists or whatever with hoods on. So he flipped out and said he was going to call the cops, blah, blah, blah. And the promoter asked him. He had this look of complete seriousness in his face saying, "Please take off the hoods. The guy's going to call the cops. You can't have the cops here. You know, this guy's crazy. Can you please?"
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, you know, take off the hoods. I'll put on some shades or something. You know, look stupid. We were in Dubai. I wanted to go home. So I didn't want to take a chance of spending ever any time in Dubai. No city's jail cells are for sure.
So you've played in other bands. You're a member of Destructor at one time, so it's not like you always had the hoods.
Right.
I gotta imagine it's hotter up on stage in a hood than not.
Yeah, but I mean, it's minimal. It's the thing of, is it 80 degrees or 85 degrees?
Oh, okay.
You know?
It's really not much of a difference.
Oh. I mean, I don't have any other things to help me be warm. So I mean, that's a leather jacket, I guess.
But with the hood and the mask, you gotta swing. Well, you don't have any hair anyway.
Yeah, that's what I said. You have nothing else.
When you're on stage, you gotta bang your head. You gotta swing your hair around and all. Guess it's just not an issue.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And finally, I'm gonna let you have your dinner here.
Oh, this is hotter than hell, man.
That is
a Kiss reference.
Look at that. Look at that. At the end of the year on this show, the initials of the show, like Radioactive Metal, R.A.M. The end of the year, what we have is our Rammy Awards. R.A.M., Ram, Grammy, kind of. It's just where we sit down and we kind of give our picks. And I'm going to toy with your modesty here because we gave Midnight Band of the Year last year.
Wow.
Our Rammy Awards. Yeah. Don't expect a cash prize. There's no trophy in the mail.
There's nothing.
There's nothing.
I want that. I want something to give to my mom. You know?
Yeah, look at this. Yeah.
This one's for you.
It's my first Rammy.
There's more to come.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Right on. Yeah, I kind of thought you'd like that.
Yeah.
And finally, let's just give a shout out to someone, anyone. Say hi.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out. Since you mentioned Destructor, I don't know if people know this or whatever, but Pat Rabbit, the original guitar player for Destructor, just died recently. And it's a bummer. It's a huge bummer, but I don't want to end the show on a bummer, but just let it be known. Play some Destructor. Play Massive Destruction. Top volume. So there you go, Pat Rabbit.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
You guys suck. You suck, you suck, you suck. You suck, you suck, you suck. You guys suck, 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 suck. Suck, suck.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantvmradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
The man, the myth, the legend. That was our chat with the mighty Athanar from Midnight. Thank you. Thanks for coming out, dude. Like, it was a fantastic time. The show was amazing. It's not too often that we get Hell's Headbangers artists through town, and just right after the interview was done, you know, we were still having dinner and all that. I shut the recorder off and we just continued to chat, and we just had a fantastic time. You know how, and I'm sure some of our longtime listeners will kind of relate to this, okay? You know how when you first hear a person's voice, whether it's on a podcast or maybe you're younger and you listen to the radio a lot and all that, and you get familiar with the DJ's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever kind of...
Oh, yeah, you make yourself an image.
You kind of make your own image of what the person looks like
and all that.
And I'm sure our listeners have done that with us. I remember as a kid doing that with the DJs. I was way off with Athanar. I was way off. That's all I'm going to say. Definitely a handsome man, for sure, but I was way off.
Okay.
So cool.
I really liked how you remembered to mention Shayna Baszler and Josh Barnett in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, and the reason why I say that is because I think last year on Twitter I was asking Shayna Baszler and I believe it, I think I had the Barnett also tagged in there. You know, I was asking her what music she listened to when she was training and all that, and she was saying that right now at that point Midnight was a huge favorite of hers, and Barnett was tagged, and he replied also to the tweet. Oh God, what's the name of the song? Rip? Is there a song called Rip something?
Yeah, hell, rip. Oh shit.
Ripping, I can't remember. Anyway, he wrote that like all in all caps with four exclamation points. so you know he's a fan, you know. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, so
Shayna and Josh, if you're listening to this, you know, I hope you enjoyed the interview, and hopefully we get to get you guys on this show at some point.
Oh yeah,
throwing we're out there,
looking for people. Yeah,
in the universe.
We're always looking for people. We love band interviews and all that, but to get those, you know, somewhat unique guests that are dedicated metalheads, and if you know Midnight, they're a big band and all that, but if you know who Midnight is, you know your shit. You know what I mean? Like you do, and everyone should know their shit, should go out and get Sweet Death and Ecstasy, not only Midnight, but everything on the Hell's Headbangers label, and everyone should be checking out their podcast, Hellcast, and the Heavy Metal Relics, everything, you know, that's all good friends of ours, all part of the Ram fam, and, you know, great stuff, but even better people.
Yep.
So yeah, go check that out. How are we for time, my friend?
We gotta go.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna have to call up our cohorts Well, they all had good reasons. So, okay, I was going to say we got to give them shit for not showing up, but hey, I think they all had good reasons. Let's go out on the new Threat Signal record. Let's go with Exit the Matrix, and I want to throw that out as a thank you since she bought the drinks. We'll dedicate this to our new buddy, Kayla. Thank you so much. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a 17 hours to midnight episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
Signing off.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com. with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.